First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. Yes, it's that time again. It is the TNT Radio Show, Tuesday Night Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network. And this is your October 7th edition of the show, Tuesday, October 7th, 2014. Got a lot of stuff on the Liberty calendar, or the Freedom calendar, if you will, over freedomcalendar.com to cover tonight. As always, if you want to call in, the numbers are 858-683-1326. 858-683-1326. And if you're already on the line and you want to talk to us, you probably know the deal. And if you don't, you just press the one key and we get you right on the air. So, going straight to the Liberty calendar. Got this week in 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire. And a very important date, 19 years ago this week, was when good old SPC Michael New refused to wear the United Nations uniform and the powder blue beret. Maybe some of y'all remember this story of Michael New, and he was a U.S. military man. You see, he did not join the United Nations. He was a American military man. And most people don't know that they wanted him to wear the powder blue beret and the United Nations uniform. And he refused to do so. And he got court-martialed for it. And that goes back 19 years ago now. U.S. soldier was court-martialed basically for refusing to abandon his oath. And basically, his battle continued for years and years. It actually led to him opening up his own website. I don't think it's there anymore, but it was at MikeNew.com, where he would talk about his story of being a loyal patriot, being court-martialed for staying true to his oath of duty by refusing to wear the United Nations uniform. He was dishonorably discharged in a trial that lasted about 15 minutes in 1996. He said, "I am not a United Nations soldier." He did not want to serve under a foreign commander. And when he took the oath to defend the United States from its enemies, foreign and domestic, and to uphold, the U.S. Constitution, he meant exactly that. He had no idea that he would be asked to ignore that oath in order to serve the United Nations, wearing UN insignia and following orders from a foreign UN commander. But that's exactly what happened in August of 1995. He was serving in Germany when he was told that his unit was to be sent to Macedonia for, quote, peacekeeping operations. In Macedonia, he would be expected to take directions from a foreign officer and wear a United Nations garb. His mission heading stated that he would be there to act in making the UN presence known. So 19 years ago this month, he said, "I have a problem with that because I am not United Nations." I explained this to my lieutenant and told him, "Sir, I don't think I should have to wear a UN arm band or a UN beret. I'm enlisted in the United States Army. I am not a UN soldier. I have taken no vow to the United Nations. I have taken an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America from enemies foreign and domestic. I regard the UN as a separate power. Where does my oath say that I have to wear a UN insignia?" Now, Michael New had served in Macedonia as a medic and promised to help his fellow soldiers, but he said he would not wear the UN uniform because of his oath to serve the U.S. But his officers still insisted that he wear the uniform and follow their orders, regardless of his oath and their oath. And for this, he was court-martialed. Well, some critics said he was just unwilling to serve, or he was unwilling to engage in military activities, and that's not true. He served in Kuwait for 6 weeks, which was also UN-directed action, but he served in an American uniform and under American officers. You see, recruiting patriotic Americans into the United States military, only to ask them to serve the United Nations, seems to be a classic bait-and-switch scam. And lo and behold, after this case came about, Colonel Ronald Ray, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan, was providing legal counsel to Michael New. If you know anything about Colonel Ronald Ray, he's from Kentucky. Came back to Kentucky after serving in the Reagan and Bush administrations. Lived over in Oldham County. Colonel Ronald Ray defended Michael New and said that there were serious practical implications to being a UN soldier that should be considered. A captured U.S. soldier is a POW with protected status, whereas a captured U.N. peacekeeper, quote-unquote, is just a hostage without special protection. And Colonel Ron Ray knew this from prior experience. He had worked to free an American Marine back in 1988 by the Hezbollah while he was on a U.N. peacekeeping mission in Lebanon. So all the way back 19 years ago, our army was already being converted into a tool of the United Nations, contrary to all principles of the U.S. Constitution. Does it not look like that to you? Our troops were put in risk around the world to fulfill United Nations resolutions, often completely ignoring the normal requirement to obtain a declaration of war from Congress. We've talked about this for a long time, how many wars under how many presidents now never got a declaration of war. So that goes all the way back to 19 years ago this week with Michael New, who refused to be a UN soldier. You also have this week, all the way back in 1794, the first silver coin, or silver dollar coin even. We've just seen silver start to rebound a little bit last week. And you had the United States Mint established in 1786 in this week. So 1786 U.S. Mint was established this week. 1794, first silver dollar coin. And finally this week in 1767, you had the Mason-Dixon line established. So that is our freedom calendar for this week on this edition of the show, October 7, 2014. And we got a whole lot of stuff to cover, and I apologize if we don't have a hardcore format to this, but we did talk a little bit last week about school shootings. We talked about a school shooting that happened on the day of last week's show here in Louisville, Kentucky. We also talked about the fact that now that DOJ's own numbers say that nobody was murdered at the Sandy Hook shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. So on the cusp of that, we bring you tonight an update about how they're going to handle all these potential school shootings. Well, let me tell you what their plans are. They're going to monitor homeschoolers. That's right. Makes perfect sense, right? A government advisory commission assembled in the wake of tragic Sandy Hook shooting, quote unquote, allegedly, supposedly, has issued a proposal for preventing similar events. Monitor homeschoolers. The Sandy Hook Advisory Commission consists of 16 educators, local and state officials, and behavioral experts created by the Connecticut Governor Danielle Malloy after we were told that 20-year-old Adam Lanza committed the Connecticut mass shootings. The commission is targeting homeschooling apparently because, you guessed it, Adam Lanza's mother removed him from the government school in 10th grade and taught him at home for 1.5 years. Now, the committee's chief recommendation, which would be tighter scrutiny of homeschoolers, but only apply to home-educated students labeled with, quote, emotional, social, and behavioral problems. But observers worry that this will be used as a pretext for gratuitous state intrusion into homeschooling families, as those with problem children would have to file progress reports prepared by government program teams. A special concern would be the matter of who would determine what constitutes emotional, social, or behavioral problems. I got a huge problem with that. Government should be nowhere near homeschooling, but we know how these roads down a rabbit hole usually turn out. Now, this is relevant since anti-homeschooling forces have spread the notion that the practice stunts emotional, social, and behavioral development. 92% of school superintendents, according to a CBN News report 7 years ago, 92% of school superintendents believe that homeschoolers are emotionally unstable, deprived of proper social development, and too judgmental of the world around them. According to a California study by researcher Dr. Ryan Ray, and given the clash of the homeschooling and government schooling worldviews, each of which considers the other abnormal, there's good reason to fear that homeschooler status alone might be enough to get one labeled disorder. After all, the two views disagree profoundly on what constitutes proper socialization. Homeschoolers often believe that Christians who seek to instill godly virtues in their children are best. But you have researcher Dr. Michael Mitchell, who said that being popular, aggressively competitive, materialistically driven, and self-confident are traits promoted in conventional schools. So just an update in case you really did not know what was going on in the school systems and their attempt to once again get their tentacles of government in where they do not belong. Now, here locally, we've been telling you a long time how important it is to get involved in the school board, because you have a school board here locally with 7 members, 4 of which are up for re-election this year. And we think that if you could take over those 4, well, if 4 of them were to be constitutionalists or Tea Partiers or classic liberals or for less government or for less government intrusion or for parental involvement, any of the above, it would be a huge bonus. It would be a huge benefit. Folks, we already know what they're trying to do to the kids in the public schools. This is not a surprise to anybody. This is not a shock to anybody. It's a process of continual change. It doesn't seek an idealized vision of the world. It seeks only to undo social norms to our detriment. The folks who believe that everybody should be the same, everybody should be a group think, are the problem. This worldview, some people call it liberalism. It's not classic liberalism, or it would be for the benefit of society, but it's socialism. We hear all the time how our government doesn't get along with each other, but you know what? Many of that will say that our government has to have both sides compromising. Well, the other side will notice something. If our political compromises were written contracts, they wouldn't be worth the paper they were printed on. If they became the doctrines of a church, she would be Our Lady of Perpetual Change. That is to say, we may talk and complain about ideology, but is there such a thing? Just consider the evolution, or some would say the devolution, of our society over the last several decades. Everything that was right is wrong. Everything that was black is now white, up and down, down and up. Think about how we got here. You don't want to be a comfortable statist. You don't want to believe that it's good to have these big Social Security programs, expanded Medicare, and these hate crime laws, and all manners and forms of unconstitutional federal bureaucracies. You don't want to become one of those statists. Why? Again, the term liberal itself, we have to sometimes explain this, but the Online Etymology Dictionary says that liberal we use as a term of reproach in the 16th and 17th centuries, with the meaning free from restraint in speech or action. Maybe that's the definition that should be resurrected. because a lot of people are disconnected from the truth. They call themselves liberals, but they embrace the credo of Dostoevsky's Ivan Karamazov. And that is to say, if God does not exist, everything is permitted. Their sociopathic worldview allows for no guide other than human passion, other than their own personal taste. But if something can go on, it won't. A civilization cannot long be led by taste without ingesting a fatally seductive poison. We need to either end these love affairs we have with socialism, or they're going to end us. And that is the only truth out there. You got to step away from the television. You got to step away from the smartphone. You got to step away from all the control mechanisms that they put out there. Maybe coming over to Blog Talk Radio. Maybe listen to the shows here on the My View Matters radio network. Now, we hear a lot of stuff these days about the schools and what's permitted there and what's taught there. And not much of it is good. Not much of it is good at all. That's why we call them government indoctrination camps. Just saying, that's what we call them, because they're indoctrinating. They're not teaching. There are some that are. Most are not. That's why we will continue to tell you to get involved in your local school boards. If you're going to be there, if you're going to pay taxes there, now, if you've already withdrawn from the system and you went as far as to dare them to withhold at the force of a gun, which is what they'll do and put you in a cage, those school taxes, and that's great. Most of us are afraid to do that. Like I often say, not many of us pay taxes because we think we should or we think it's a wonderful thing to do. Most of us pay taxes because we're scared not to. This is the garbage that keeps growing. This is the gift that keeps giving, because they have these taxation programs out there, and you better do what they tell you or they will put you in a cage. Now, when you present it like that, they'll say, what do you mean that threat of violence? Nobody's going to be violent. No. As long as you do what they tell you, there will be no violence. As long as you submit, as long as you bend over, as long as you turn around and lay down, whatever other vernacular and hyperbole you want me to use, they won't be violent. They'll just take you and do what they want with you. They might pull a bullet in your head one day, but as long as you're a good little sheep, you can be beneficial to them. Now, I resented and regretted the talk about the Ebola virus, because we're not going to talk about it a lot. We did mention over 2 or 3 weeks ago that the U.S. government had acquired about 150,000 Ebola hazmat suits. Nobody thought that was news at the time, but that's our country. Hey, you got to watch your reality show. You got to play your video games. You got to have your smartphone attached to the ass. That's the problem with the country. Now, I'll tell you another problem with the country, and this is a piece that came out, about a week ago. Might have come out the day of our last show. And that was over at the National Journal. Ron Paul talking about how, yes, the Scottish referendum gives us reasons to be hopeful. And he basically was talking about this country and how he thinks there should be more secessionist movements in the United States. Writing over at the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity, and again reprinted by the New American and the National Journal, Ron Paul says, even though it ultimately failed at the ballot box, the recent campaign for Scottish independence should cheer supporters of the numerous secession movements springing up around the globe. In the weeks leading up to the referendum, it appeared that people of Scotland were poised to vote to secede from the United Kingdom. Defeating the referendum required British political elites to co-opt secession forces by promising greater self-rule for Scotland, as well as launching a massive campaign to convince the Scots that secession would plunge them into economic depression. There's those fear factors they use. There's those fear tactics that they try to throw at you and scare the hell out of you. And they probably worked with a lot of people in Scotland, the vote rigging notwithstanding. Ron Paul goes on to say the people of Scotland were even warned that secession would damage the international market for one of Scotland's main exports, whiskey. Considering the lengths to which opponents went to discredit secession, it is amazing that almost 45% of the Scottish people still voted for it. It is amazing that that number was still 45%. After the fear tactics, after the apathy, after the ignorance, after the stupidity, after the vote rigging, still got 45% of the vote against staying in the United Kingdom for secession. Now, the Scottish referendum result has done little to discourage other secessionist movements spreading across Europe, countries from Norway to Italy. Just days after the Scottish referendum, the people of Catalonia voted to hold their own referendum, measuring popular support for secession from Spain. And, more importantly, here at home, folks, support for secession is growing in America. According to a recent poll, 1 in 4 Americans would support their state seceding from the federal government. Movements and organizations advocating that state governments secede from the federal government, that local governments secede from the state governments, or that local governments secede from both the federal and state governments are springing up across the country. Yeah, they're not talking to you about this on ABC, CBS, NBC, Time Warner, Clear Channel, Salem Radio Network. Those people aren't talking about it. While we're talking about Clear Channel, and while I dropped in the words Time Warner, I will remind people, my God, stay away from Time Warner. If you have to have service with somebody, please get service somewhere else until they finally get Time Warner out of this area. Or if you're in a part of the country where Time Warner is your carrier and you're not going to be fortunate to get a new carrier soon, I feel sorry for you because it's a horrible, horrible company, and I hope people will resist Time Warner wherever they are. Now, that being said, back to our regular program here. Talking about Ron Paul, who was talking about secession. Stuff you're not going to hear in the mainstream press. Americans who embrace secession, Dr. Ron Paul goes on to say, are acting in a grand American tradition. The Declaration of Independence was written to justify secession from Great Britain. Supporters of liberty should cheer the growth in support for secession, and it is the ultimate rejection of centralized government and the ideologies of Keynesianism, welfarism, and militarism. Widespread acceptance of the principle of peaceful secession and self-determination could resolve many ongoing conflicts. For instance, allowing the people of Eastern Ukraine and Western Ukraine to decide for themselves whether to split into two separate nations may be the only way to resolve their differences. The possibility that people will break away from an oppressive government is one of the most effective checks on the growth of government. It is no coincidence that the transformation of America from a limited republic to a monolithic welfare warfare state coincided with the discrediting of secession as an appropriate response to excessive government. Amen to that. Devolving government into smaller units promotes economic growth. Let me say it again. Devolving government into smaller units promotes economic growth. The smaller the size of government, the less power it has to hobble free enterprise with taxes and regulations. Just because people do not wish to live under the same government does not mean they are unwilling to or unable to engage in mutually beneficial trade. By eliminating potential conflicts, political, geographical, secession could actually make people more interested in trading with each other, because decentralized government power would thus promote true free trade as opposed to, quote, managed trade controlled by the bureaucrats and the politicians and the special interests. Devolution of power to smaller levels of government should also make it easier for individuals to use a currency of their choice instead of a currency favored by central bankers and politicians. The growth of support for secession should cheer all supporters of freedom as devolving power to smaller units of government is one of the best ways to guarantee peace, prosperity, liberty, and even cheap whiskey, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. That's what Ron Paul put out last week about saying that there should be more secessionist movements in the United States. And yeah, I know ABC, CBS, NBC, Time Warner, Fox, Clear Channel, Salem Radio, iHeartRadio, none of these people told you about this. Ron Paul said himself something I've said myself, which is if you try this and you want it to be peaceful, the United States government probably will not allow it to be peaceful. They'll probably send in tanks and missiles if you truly had a state try to secede. So it's refreshing and liberating to hear this from Dr. Ron Paul. Because the main agenda for the New World Order is to destroy every nation. If you're going to destroy every nation, you got to do it by universalism. You got to do it by saying everybody's the same. Everybody's a carbon copy. But secessionism is the vehicle for that, getting away from the New World Order, because the people who hate globalism will support it. Don't worry, I guess when the time comes, if enough people haven't been for secession, we'll all enjoy our time in the labor camps. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for hanging on and staying after the break for the TNT Radio Show's bottom half of the hour here on the My View Matters Radio Network. It is Tuesday Night Truth. And we talked about things that divide us, like secessionism and something people don't talk about much. Another thing the mainstream media doesn't talk to you about, they don't talk to you about the alternatives to the Democrats and Republicans. We've been saying for a long time, you people expect different results, and you keep voting for the same two parties over and over and over again. Why? Why do people do that? Again, if you say something about not liking the two candidates, you'll have in a given race. Let's take, for instance, the U.S. Senate race in Kentucky, even though there are three candidates on the ballot, and there are even another three candidates who have filed official candidacies. Everyone thinks they've got to vote for one person or the other. Even in these stupid media interviews that they print, oh, I just got to vote for this person because I couldn't stand having this other person. Then you stop choosing between one evil and another evil because it's still evil. Some people might say this is the need for a none-of-the-above option for every race on the ballot. I've got no problems with that. Because all we hear about is, oh, my candidate's not the evil monster the other guy is. And, oh, my candidate, she's not the corrupt criminal that the other candidate is. And as Gatewood Galbraith would say, like great Gatewood Galbraith would say, they're probably both right in what they say about the other. But you want to hear about these third-party candidates. Not in the local media, especially the local TV media, spend about as little time on anything they can that is truly informative or investigative. You have WHS Radio, which is such a joke they should be banned from using the word news. And then you have the local Louisville Courier-Journal, which falls somewhere between coffee news and the Highlander when it comes to covering news stories. Just the way it is. I'll say it again. Yes, Mitch McConnell received over 950,000 votes his last general election, which would have been 2008. So he may well get a million votes this year based on the incredibly bad Democrat opponent alone. But people keep getting the same shit over and over because they keep voting for the same two parties. Everybody likes their incumbent. They tell you everybody else's incumbent is bad, but not theirs. They tell you they're offended by the two quote-unquote choices they're given. But they have six different candidates whose votes will be counted in the U.S. Senate race. And I agree with what my good friend Ed Martin, who hosts a show with Mr. Ed Springsteen here on these airwaves, said, which is it should be an option on all ballots. I agree. I think that none of the above should be an option on all ballots. No question. But you got too many people who will vote only straight party for the Republicans, or will only vote straight party, especially for a couple hundred years here in Kentucky, for the Democrats. And I've tried to tell people they need to stop voting blindly for a straight political party, and they need to start paying attention. And one example I give on this is out in far western Kentucky, there's an open state seat. Ironically, it's open because of the retirement of Bob Leeper, who was the state's only independent legislature. And you have a Democrat running who is against Common Core, which we've spoken against here many times, is against a statewide smoking ban, and he doesn't believe in global warming. And then you have the Republican candidate on the flip side, who is for Common Core, is for a statewide smoking ban, and hasn't made up his mind on global warming. So doesn't that tell you right there alone that you better not go in there and vote straight Democrat or straight Republican? Because if you do, you're going to be voting for some guys you don't agree with just because they got the same letter in front of your name as you do. That's something people don't want to hear about. We'll talk about it more on these airwaves as we get closer to the election. Believe it or not, we only got 3 more shows before Election Day, if you can believe that. I assume we'll be here on election night, since Tuesday Night Truth will be also a night that there's elections. But too many people think, I've got to vote for the Democrat because the Republican is such blank, fill in the blank. I've got to vote Democrat because the Republican is such blank, fill in the blank. They just go along to get along. To get along, they go along. When the fact is, while abysmal congressional approval ratings have become the norm in our quote-unquote hyper-partisan environment, which I don't even believe that, and while government dysfunction is cited as the most pressing issue facing our nation, problem-solving and compromise have been replaced by party politics and congressional gridlock. But it would be a huge mistake to say that Republicans and Democrats don't compromise on anything or don't get along with anything. They have worked together for decades to create districts that work in each party's favor. They help each other eliminate competition from any third parties. They strip voters of any meaningful choices. In state after state, they have joined forces to restrict voters who choose not to affiliate with their political parties from participating in their private primaries. Their attempt, however, to silence unaffiliated and independent voters has backfired. What I mean by that is, since 2008, independent voter registration has increased 17.4% in the 10 states with the most competitive elections, Senate, gubernatorial elections, House races. This is a new study that was just put out. In terms of voters, it's an increase of 1,337,765 independent voters. We're looking at states combined: Alaska, Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, New Hampshire, North Carolina. It's a wide range of states, going from the Great White North to the Midwest to the South to the Northeast. If you add up these districts, you basically have a decrease in Democrat registration of 4.8%, a slight increase in Republican registration of 3.3%, but an increase of independent registration of 17.4%. And I left out Florida and Maine. So that's the states we're looking at. Alaska, Colorado, Florida, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, New Hampshire, North Carolina. And independent voters are not only increasing at a much higher rate than party voters, but in Colorado, Iowa, Maine, and New Hampshire, independent voters outnumber Democrats and Republicans. I'll say it again. Colorado, Iowa, Maine, and New Hampshire, independents outnumber Democrats and Republicans. It's pretty fascinating if you look at it. In Colorado, over the last 6 years, independents have gone up 39.5% in registration. In Iowa and in Maine, you have a slight differential of about 2%. And in New Hampshire, you have a differential of 6%. In Alaska, independent voters are the majority. What does it mean for the November elections? Well, candidates in these states will have to look outside their party labels in order to appeal to independent voters. Take Kansas, for instance. Independent candidate Greg Orman holds a commanding lead against his Republican senator opponent, Pat Roberts. While this is a historically red state, Kansas has seen a drastic shift in voter registration since 2008. With independent voters now outpacing Republicans, the fastest growing proportion of the electorate. In 2008, Roberts only won 50% of the independent vote, drawing into question his ability to maintain a seat in an increasingly quote unquote purple state, not red or blue, not Democrat or Republican state. And across the nation, we are witnessing a shift in political attitude. 42% of Americans now identify as political independents, and a majority say that the major parties do not represent them. Candidates must reassess how they approach campaigning if they expect to win. I mean, I've seen districts. Just studying these numbers, I saw a district up in Massachusetts where 55% of the congressional district was unenrolled in one party or the other, 55%. And that left about 31 or 32% that were Democrat, 12 or 13% that were Republican. And that 55% choose not to join a party. So if somebody ran for an independent or ran as an independent in that district, they would actually have more quote-unquote party support or nonpartisan support or non-party support, however you want to say it, than the Democrats and the Republicans combined. If you see that there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats and they're both destroying the country, then there is a lot of hope for you. It would be so nice if instead of trying to trump each other with issues that are based on nonsense, if the Democrats and Republicans would engage in real issues that matter to Americans. We don't want to hear about Obamacare 64 more times. How about resolving issues like in Kentucky, we have a big, big problem with the retirement funds. What about reducing the corporate welfare? What about reining in and properly regulating certain institutions before the next fiscal bubble burst? What about restoring working and middle class access to higher education? How about legalizing and regulating marijuana, reducing our prison populations, and knocking out the legs, therefore, from underneath the Mexican drug traffickers? They don't talk about these things, do they? They just tell you, get out there and vote, get out there and vote. One way or the other, get out there and vote. Shake that tree. No. The two major parties, unfortunately, still control the electoral process and the media. As long as they control the electoral process and the media, very little room will be allowed to be gained. They don't want you to know what else is out there. It kind of reminds me of Facebook, the big globalist company, you know, the big private company who collects all your words and pictures, and they admittedly use them for their own profit and abuse. You know that company? Well, they're back up to their corrupt bullshit again. And I never have been one to think that I had a right to do or say certain things on Facebook, because I know it's their own private party. You'd be shocked by the number of people out there who think that they have a right to do whatever they want on their private page, which is not their private page, I mean, but Facebook's. So I just want to let you know that this week, I guess it was back on Sunday, just 2 days ago, Sunday, one of my good friends had his profile page removed on Facebook. And we usually just call it social networks. You hear me say the social networks. I usually won't call them out by name, especially give them free publicity. But when it comes to bad stuff they're doing, I will still call them out on that, surely. And a good friend of mine who went by the screen name of Anna Peel had all his Facebook information removed, all his contact taken down. He had the ability to send messages deleted. And he was forcibly converted to a quote-unquote community page. Now, thankfully, I still have the ability to keep in contact with him outside of Facebook's perverted cult of personality. I mean, he was one of those who posts some of the most insightful, truthful, and politically incorrect links I'd seen out on the social networks, and I would repost them on occasion. But as he told me on Sunday, Facebook is at war against constitutional bloggers. So it's possible that they will try to disappear your account and my account just like they did my friends. Just something to think about, folks. We're going to keep bringing you the truth. We're not going to blindly say it's okay to be out there and trusting Facebook, and we sure the hell don't trust Google. I said this time and time again, I will not use some Google Chromebook if my life depends upon it. I will not use Google's search engine. I will prefer to stick with the one search engine that does not monitor you, the world's most private one, Start Page. I will not use Google Chrome as a browser. I will stick with Safari and Opera and Firefox. I sure the hell am not going to use Google Plus or Gmail, but we're going to keep bringing you the truth on these things. Just like when you have a Republican Party. No, we don't talk about the Democrat Party much because they're totally useless to me. Republican Party has some use because as long as we're stuck in this two-party system, this false left-right paradigm, I just explained to you earlier how a candidate could be against the grain, but he's got a D in front of his name or an R in front of his name, so people aren't going to know what they're about because they're too busy voting damn straight party. But you have a Republican Party that can't even decide on what ideas it believes and or stick to them. We've been in a fight for at least two decades with the local and state Republican parties, and the party's problems are evident in many. They've won a majority only one of the last six presidential elections, and their leadership is not to be trusted, as they have lied, cheated, and stolen to keep those with any kind of libertarian beliefs out of the party. Now, there was a great presentation done out on the internet. If you go out to Cato.org, which is the Cato Institute. They have a great piece over there if you were to sit down and watch it. I'm looking at it right now. I hear some sound in the background. Yep. That's an hour and 28 minutes if you go to Cato.org and watch their video, The Republican Party Civil War, Will Freedom Win? And they talk about how a turn towards libertarian ideas and policies would bring the party philosophical coherence and sustained electoral success. They talk about, will liberty dominate the GOP's policies, or will libertarianism have little electoral appeal to the older traditional Republican voters? So it's definitely worth watching, because that is truly a question we have to ask. Will freedom win? Got a lot of people who fought their whole lives for freedom, like Dr. Ron Paul, who's getting up there in age, and I hope he's with us for a long time, but he's not a young spring chicken anymore. People who fought the good fight, like Jim Traficant, who just died in the last week or two. Hell, even somebody who we don't agree with much, like Bernie Sanders up in Vermont, understands that you don't want oligarchy rule, that you want something resembling, he would call it democracy. I would still say democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. Because anytime you're outnumbered 51-49, that's democracy, and we don't really want that kind of quote-unquote democracy. We want a republic. And that's what Benjamin Franklin said that we would have if we could keep it, a republic form of government. Are you willing to get out there and fight for that today? Are you willing to stand up for the republic? Are you willing to give it to the oligarchy? Are you willing to say, well, I got to vote for the person with a D in front of their name because I don't like the other one with the R. I've got to vote for that guy with the R in front of his name because I don't like the gal with the D in front of her name. Or are you going to stand up and put your big boy's pants on and your big girl's pants on, one or the other, please? And are you going to stand up for freedom? Are you going to stand up for liberty? Or are you going to let the country continue to shred away the Constitution? Are you going to stand up for limited government, for smaller government, for less taxes, for less regulation, for less control by the state, for less bureaucratic red tape, for less jackbooted thugs going out there and beating the hell out of people or killing them for no reason? Are you going to stand up to those things, or are you going to just be another pawn of the New World Order?
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.